Well, let us listen to a scripture about gratitude. We'll be reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14 today, verses 1 through 9, an extravagant gift. I invite you to listen for any words or phrases that speak to you in particular or speak to our church and need to be shared. Let us listen for the Word of God. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of the unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, "Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people." While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." May God bless our hearing and our understanding of this holy scripture. Now, were there any words that stood out for you? Yes, Bob. What she has done will be kept in remembrance of her. Yeah. Ruby. "The poor will always be with you, but I will not," as a paraphrase. You may, and it says, "You can show kindness to them whenever you wish," and should show kindness to them whenever is needed. That was my paraphrase. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. What she has done will be told in remembrance of her. One day, as he was opening his shop, a very kind and generous barber was feeling all the more kind and generous, perhaps because it was nearing the Thanksgiving holiday, and he had much for which to be grateful. The first customer to enter the shop for a haircut was a local baker. The barber, wanting to express his gratefulness, decided to give the baker a free haircut. The next morning, when the barber came to work, he found a dozen freshly baked donuts on his doorstep with a note of gratitude to the barber. This really encouraged the barber and made him even more grateful for life than he was the day before. In fact, he was so grateful that he decided to give the first customer of the day a free haircut and a free donut. Soon, his first customer did arrive, a local florist. The florist was delighted with the free service and immensely enjoyed the donut. The next morning, when the barber came to work, he found a dozen fresh roses on his doorstep with a note of gratitude from the florist. This really encouraged the barber and made him even more grateful about life than he was the previous day or even the day before. In fact, he was so grateful and overjoyed about his good fortune that he decided to give another free haircut to whoever might be the first customer of the day. Soon a local pastor came in, and since this was the first customer, the barber gave him a free haircut as well as a rose to take home for his wife. The pastor was delighted with the service and thanked the barber profusely. That night, as the barber closed his shop, he wondered what good fortune might befall him the next day. The next morning, when the barber came to work, he found a dozen preachers on his doorstep. I guess preachers have a reputation for finding bargains. But this barber seemed to be truly wrestling with the meaning of gratitude. Did his gratitude bring the blessings, or did the blessings bring his gratitude? Just before he was to be arrested, tortured, and killed by crucifixion on a Roman cross, Jesus sat in our story, or rather reclined, at the dinner table at the home of Simon the leper. As he reclined at the table, we read, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. Now, this was very costly perfume. It's not likely that this was a poor woman, like the widow who had dropped her last two coins into the temple coffers earlier in Mark's gospel. 300 denarii was roughly equivalent to a working person's yearly wages, perhaps $50,000, $60,000 today. This was an extravagant gift. Or was it a wasteful gift? Some at the table thought it was a waste. In fact, they were angry. We read, why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor, and they scolded the woman. Surely a follower of Jesus would have thought this through. Surely she would have known that Jesus would be angry. He was always on the side of the poor, the oppressed, and the outcasts of society. How much difference would a full year's wages make upon a poor person's life, a poor family's life, maybe a poor neighborhood's life? $50,000? Surely this was a wasteful gift. Surely Jesus, the Son of God, would never approve of such waste. So poll question, how many believe this gift was extravagant but appropriate? How many extravagant but wasteful? You've probably read ahead on this. Of course, God sent his beloved Son, Jesus, into our world to show us how to live in relationship with God, to show us how much he loves us, and to show us sacrificial living. Did God not give the most extravagant gift ever given on earth? In Jesus. In Jesus, God came into our world for what? To die on a Roman cross, to be abandoned by his closest friends, to be continually misunderstood while he was on earth, and still after 2,000 years, talk about a waste. How could God just sit by and let jealous religious leaders scheme with power-hungry politicians to quiet this Messiah? Jesus only lived 33 years on earth. His public ministry only lasted 3 years. What a wasted gift. Or was it an extravagant gift? Let's look around us. What a beautiful sanctuary. The stained glass windows, amazing. What an attractive, well-designed building, strategically placed in this fast-growing community. A large parking lot next to a beautiful park. Beautiful views of the mountains all around us. What a blessing we have at First Christian Church. And this is only the tip of the iceberg when you look back over 141 years of ministry, of service, of fellowship, of relationships and families grown and lives transformed right here in this neighborhood. This is surely an extravagant blessing from God. And First Christian Church will continue to be an extravagant gift to this community as long as we continue the ministry, the service, the growing relationships and transforming lives, as long as we keep planning ahead and keep investing in God's work in a way that continues to meet needs in this community. This church will continue to be an extravagant gift to our neighbors and friends. Now look at your own life. As you make plans for some kind of Thanksgiving celebration this week, maybe multiple like Shannon and I, have you thought about the extravagant gifts that God has given you personally? If you've been blessed by God's extravagant giving, how will you give thanks? Can you see how blessed you really are? Now, how many believe that God has blessed you extravagantly? I can't reach high enough for that one. Absolutely. But the disciples didn't or couldn't. Every time Jesus told them about God's gift, God's plan, that the Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. The disciples argued with Jesus. What a waste, they argued. Surely that can't be God's plan for his gift of the Messiah. Could it be they were more afraid of what they might lose than truly grateful for the gift they had been given? And isn't that our normal response in our society? To hold on to what we have rather than sharing the gifts of God? Even the good news of God's love? Hold on. Don't share with others. Get everything you can out of God's gift. But this woman was different. She knew what a gift she had that we all have in Jesus. She knew that somehow, for that gift to be fully given, Jesus had to die. She knew somehow that Jesus would be buried soon without even the normal anointing of his body after burial. She knew what an extravagant gift Jesus was. So all she could think of was the most extravagant gift she could give. It was the only suitable gift for God's Son in response to God's extravagant gift. Sticky fingers. Now the Gospel of Mark is not known for highlighting the plight of women in the world, not like the Gospel of Luke. But even here in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus points out two particular women, the woman in this story and the poor widow who gave everything she had to live on, her last two coins. These two women in the Gospel of Mark responded to God's extravagant gift by, in turn, giving extravagantly. For this, they both will always be remembered. So when you look at your own life this Thanksgiving, when you look at your possessions, your relationships, your gifts and talents, when you look at this church, this community around us, this nation, all of God's good creation, what do you see? A wasted gift or an extravagant gift? If you see an extravagant gift, then how will you respond? Like these two women in Mark's gospel, I believe that an extravagant gift should elicit an extravagant response. Does this mean that we just go through the motions of worship on Sunday mornings? Or do we give everything we can in praising and thanking God? Do we give just enough to the church, or do just enough to keep the lights on and the programs alive for ourselves? Do we give God just a nod before dinner, a quick prayer before bed, maybe a longer prayer on Thanksgiving or Christmas? I feel like one of God's best gifts to me is the ability and an inclination to give to others whenever possible. When I think of God's extravagance, I know I can't do everything, but I want to give. That's how I feel rich. The way I look at it, if I don't give, then God's extravagant giving ends with me. I don't want that to happen. God has given me too much. So I plan to follow the example given by this woman who anointed Jesus. She recognized what an extravagant gift she and the entire world had been given in Jesus. And there was no other response to such an extravagant gift but to keep on giving extravagantly. To do anything less would have been a waste. So our challenge this week to take home, to count the blessings that First Christian Church has received and shared. Will you pray with me? We do give you thanks, O God, and we can't thank you enough. The blessings you continue to rain down upon us, the tiniest of gifts that go on constantly within our bodies, all around us, the beauty that we get to enjoy, particularly in this place we get to live, the relationships we share here in the church, those in the community, our nation that we live in, that has gifted us and gifted this entire world for so many years. We are truly blessed, O God. And those are blessings that we can share and take care of and give to others. And we pray that you would give us the wisdom, the strength, and the gratitude to be followers of Jesus that give and give and give. We pray in his name. Amen.